We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
To the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn. We've got a wonderful show for you today. The first half hour of the show, we're going to be playing music, maybe talking a little bit about the portion of the week, which is beginning of the book of Vayikra, switching things around a little bit from our normal way of doing things. And the second half hour, we're going to be interviewing Rabbi J.J. Duchman, who is bringing a very unique and special Passover program, which is a hands-on, not exactly a drive-through program, which is being sponsored by and conducted by a group effort of organizations here in the city of Detroit. And it'll be happening next week. We'll give the details then. We have a very special story at the end. Stay all the way through. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An IDF soldier in the Arab village of Tubis shot and killed an Arab who tried to stab another soldier. An Arab woman broke into a home in Samaria and tried to stab people in the house. The group tackled her, and she was arrested by IDF soldiers. Israel, Cyprus, and Greece signed a memorandum of understanding to link their power grids via the construction of the world's longest and deepest undersea power cable. The project, called the Euro-Asia Interconnector, will help Israel build on more options for renewable energy, contribute to energy security, and reduce energy prices. The Czech Republic opened a branch of its embassy in Jerusalem, becoming the second EU country after Hungary. The Israeli military declared it reached herd immunity to COVID-19 after 80% of its personnel have either been vaccinated or had the disease. Israel's military may be the first to achieve immunity in the world. Utah became the latest state to pass anti-BDS legislation. To date, 32 states have adopted laws, executive orders, and or resolutions designed to discourage boycotts against Israel. And finally, the NBA fined, that's the National Basketball Association, fined Miami Heat player Myers Leonard $50,000 two days after he was caught saying the word kike on a video game stream. Myers was suspended and will need to participate in cultural diversity programs. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program. Running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're going to get things up and rolling with a little bit of music. This song is called This Is We, and it's performed by Shalom Lemmer and Eli Schwiebel.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts.
I've learned to be ashamed all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are.
Don't let them break you down to dust. I know that there's a place for us. We are warriors.
When you feel afraid and you're full of doubt, we're gonna send the love, we're gonna shout it out. I am brave, I am free. Take my hand and follow me. This is we.
Look out, cause here we come. And we're marching on to the beat we drum. We're not scared to be seen. We make no apologies. This is we. Celebrate and let the games begin. No time to waste, twist the chain. You find where you fit in.
Together we can beat the odds and give it all we got.
We are warriors.
We found where we belong.
Don't let them break it down to dust. I know that there's a place for us.
I am brave, I am free. Take my hand and follow me. This is we.
Look out, cause here we come.
Look out, cause here we come.
And we're marching on to the beat we drum.
We're not scared to be seen. We make no apologies.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Just a quick up, as One Stop is now called Grove. They've redone the place. It's absolutely a beautiful place, real fun place to shop. They have all of your Passover needs. Anything that you could think you could possibly need for Passover, they have it there. So check them out. Up next, for your listening pleasure, I've been getting inundated with mail. These people just, they're on the ball. I haven't played Klezmer for a while. I'm thinking I was playing, because I played a couple of things in the last week that were sort of like pseudo Klezmer. Didn't go. It's no pseudo. They want. So this, for all my Klezmer fans out there, this is the Underscore Orchestra, which is a group from Germany, maybe Czechoslovakia, I'm not sure. And this is called Klezmer in F minor.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Fidman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is Benny Friedman and Joey Newcomb. Not newcomers to the radio scene over here. The song is called Bridge the Difference.
Different faces, different names, a Can we still share joy and pain? We may all feel different, but we share a beating heart. Why should we be torn apart from each other? We may all think different, and at times we don't agree. Can we understand and see that we're still a family? We may all be different, but in learning to respect, we can heal and reconnect to each other. In a world that is crying out in pain, you and I are the ones who can make things change. If I dare to reach out to you, will you cross the divide? We can build it all anew if we can. Let's bring the joy and peace to our families and homes with the blessing of shalom. Time to break the barriers that have kept us apart and to melt away the ice that is frozen. Watching all our dreams come true as we join side by side. One great nation forever. Forever.
Forever.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion, which should be read in the synagogue, is the portion of Vayikra. And it starts the beginning of the book of Leviticus. We are out of Bible stories. We won't have Bible stories again until May, which is okay. There's other stuff over there that's really good to talk about. This week's portion talks about various sacrifices that were brought and how to bring those sacrifices. And the first one, which is mentioned in the portion, is the burnt offering. The burnt offering was, as it indicates, was totally, completely consumed on the altar. Many of the holiday sacrifices were burnt offerings. In fact, the daily sacrifices that were offered were burnt offerings. You say the regular sacrifices. But it could be that, for example, if a person just wanted to go to the temple and watch the procedure, you couldn't just go there and watch. You had to be there for a reason. Like, hey, what are you doing here? You're just taking up space? No, go away. So a person would have to come, they would have to bring a sacrifice. And if a person had no other reason why they needed to bring a sacrifice, for whatever could it possibly be, they just felt like it, they would bring a burnt offering. And then they could stand and watch the proceedings all day. They didn't kick anybody out. You did your thing, get out. No, you could stay. You were there because, and actually, when a person brought a sacrifice, it was considered a holiday, a personal holiday for them, because they got an opportunity to commune with the Almighty. And indeed, that was the whole purpose. God's not into barbecues. God's not into blood and fat and guts and all the other stuff, which is mentioned. You go through the portion, and this week's portion, and half of next week's portion, and it talks about how they did this whole procedure. And you get the idea that the temple was really nothing more than a slaughterhouse, which, if you've ever been to a slaughterhouse, they're not the most spiritual of places, but the temple was, because the slaughtering wasn't the end. The sacrifices were a vehicle for communing with the Almighty. At the beginning of the portion, it says, this is a classic verse. This is actually one of the first verses that a child is taught. When a child begins to speak, we're talking a year old, younger if they start, if they're a little precocious, a little later, if they're a little bit slower in developing their speech. The first thing we say to them is, we practice with them, you know, you go to a kid, you go, mama, mama. You know, you do that one. Everybody does that one. Okay, so we get past the mama, the dada, et cetera, cookie. We start saying Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Marash, Tiels, Yaakov, the Torah, which is the Torah that Moses commanded as inheritance to the people Jacob. That's the first verse that we teach a kid. The kid doesn't know anything. The second verse is Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, which is a declaration of our commitment to Judaism. The third verse is Adam ki yakriv mikem korban min hatzayin min habakar min hatzayin min hagidi. When a person will offer up from themselves a sacrifice from the cows, the sheep, the goats. This then indicates that this is a very important verse. You might want to think, what about Anechi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hetzeisi Yemei Eretz Mitzrayim? I'm the Lord your God who took you out of Israel. Something like that. You know, this is like the belief in God. No, because Judaism is all about participating. Believing is fine. Academic study is wonderful. But the main thing is the doing. And that's what's in what the backbone behind this verse is. Because the verse is written grammatically incorrect in Hebrew and in English. What it should say is, when a person will offer up a sacrifice from the sheep, the goats, etc. What it says, when a person will offer up himself a sacrifice from the cows, the sheep, etc. So it's the same thing like, could you call me a cab? Yeah, you're a cab. Instead of I'm going to get geeky over here, the predicate nominative, the poor man now becomes the direct object. And so it sounds like what you're saying is, when the person sacrifices himself. But there are no mistakes in Torah, grammatical or otherwise. And really, what is it when we say the word, because the word sacrifice in Hebrew is an incorrect translation. The word is carbon, means to commune, to come close. What is it that's coming close is not the cow, the sheep, the goat. What's coming close is the person bringing them. This then leads us to, and I've been talking about this for, this has been a theme this whole year, as to the connection between the portion of the week and the upcoming holiday. Passover is March the 26th, March the 27th, is technically speaking, is the first Seder, the first Passover meal is Saturday night, March the 27th. What is it that people know about the Seder? Well, people know it's a time for getting together and families and eating and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. we got shocked last year. We got broadsided when suddenly everybody's Passover plans suddenly became, well, like last year, it was me and my wife. And that was it. That was the whole Seder. My wife asked the four questions for those people familiar with the Seder. And that was it. It was a Seder. We did it. We did what it says you're supposed to do. So what are we supposed to be doing during the Seder is, what did we do in actuality? What happened? And we're going to talk about this when we get to our guest today, J.J. Duchman, and talk about the importance of Passover. So I'll leave that for him. The purpose of Passover is, we got out of Egypt and we're going to get the Torah. The purpose of leaving Egypt was not for the purpose of leaving Egypt, even though it had its own thing. We call it the birth of the nation, et cetera. We achieved freedom. Many mitzvahs are done as a remembrance of, reminding us that we left Egypt, yes. But it was not the end, it was the beginning. And indeed, what are we doing now that we've started? We're already in the month of Nisan, the month that Passover falls. And we've already reading the portion of Vayikra, which talks about doing it, getting yourself into putting yourself into it. It's the same thing with Passover. With Passover, okay, so we're not eating stuff that we normally eat a whole year. We're eating totally different. It's not the food. The food's not the main thing. The main thing is that it's an exercise in trying to feel closer to God. And this is what we have to do. It says every single generation, and the first Lubavitch Rebbe adds, and every single day, a person has to consider as they personally left Egypt, meaning to say that today is my first day when I'm going to do something new. And tomorrow will again be your first day when you're going to do something new. And if a person is doing something different every single day in the course of a year, they've done 365 new things. They've experienced and grown. We're not talking about turning mountains into dirt. We're not talking about traversing oceans and flying into the sky. We're talking one step at a time. If you take one step every day, in a year, it's 365 steps. And then in the course of 70 years, well, that's 25,000 steps. That's quite an accomplishment. Speaking of accomplishments, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online J.J. Duchman from California, who's helped organize a presentation that's going to be done in the greater Detroit area called Freedom, an immersive Passover drive-through experience, which will be in Detroit on March the 21st through the 23rd. How are you, J.J.?
Doing awesome. Thank you so much for having us on the show today.
This is wonderful. Okay, so
it's early out here in LA, so you got us good.
I hope I didn't wake you. Anyway, so there's a lot of emphasis in Judaism placed on Passover. Just before we get into what's being done with this special program, could you just sum up and take your time, but What's so special about Passover?
Well, you know, first of all, Passover is the most celebrated Jewish holiday. Ironically, it's celebrated more than the high holidays. More Jewish people attend the Seder. So it's a super important holiday. It's also known as Pesach. It's a major Jewish holiday that occurs typically in the spring on the 15th day of the Jewish month of Nisan. And it's celebrating the exodus of the Jewish people from ancient Egypt after years of slavery and oppression.
Okay. So the Jews get released from slavery and we make a big holiday and we eat a lot.
Yeah. So the main event of the holiday is a festive meal called the Seder, which we read the book of the Exodus and the related writings to it. And it has a set order going through all the, you know, the 10 plagues and the splitting of the sea and some of the major events and miracles that happened. And we commemorate the story by eating the unleavened bread and the matzah, which is the main mitzvah of the night. And we celebrate freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if it's such a popular holiday, as you mentioned, why do we need some kind of a public display such as this? I don't even know what you would call it. It's not a program. It's more than that. But this freedom...
It's a theatrical. Yeah, it's a theatrical experience.
Okay, so why do we need it?
So, you know, in a year that people have really been hunkered at home and been missing out a lot of the celebrations, we wanted to create a safe way that people can come out and learn about the holiday. If they're already familiar with Passover, with Pesach, you know, to see it in front of their eyes in an engaging way where the biblical characters come to life, you know, the stories that we talk about happen in front of their very eyes, the smells, the sights, the backgrounds. It's really a experience that will capture all the senses and give you a better understanding to the story of Passover. And it's just going to be with great pomp and ceremony. And there'll be prayer, there'll be singing, there'll be dancing. It's just going to be really... be happy, family friendly for all of Detroit.
Okay, that's cool. Now, I understand you've got a little bit of experience while we're speaking with JJ Duchman from California, in that you did a similar thing for Hanukkah. So could you describe how did that work? What were the mechanics involved with that? And before that, even what was the idea behind doing it? And then how was it received?
Sure, that's a great question. So the Chabad Lubavitch of Michigan, who are the ones putting on this Freedom Detroit event, found what we did here in Hollywood. We called it the Maccabees. It was a Hanukkah drive-through where we brought to life the story of Hanukkah. And fascinating enough, you know, all the Hanukkah celebrations were canceled back in December, and the community at large was looking for some way to celebrate. So I approached some producers in Universal Studios, which is a major theme park here. And a lot of them were out of a job, the cast members being that, you know, the theme parks have been closed. So we put together a cast of theatrical, you know, theater actors. And we put together three stages telling the story of Hanukkah, where the cars drove from stage to stage, commemorating and celebrating the story of Hanukkah. And we're taking this to the next level for Detroit. We actually have five stages. We're adding a whole new array of special effects, live animals. You're going to be driving through a giant 30-foot inflatable Pharaoh arch. So we have a lot of cool surprises. Can't tell you too much more than that, but we're taking what we did in LA and we're taking it up to the next notch for Passover.
Okay, that's very cool. We don't have any theme parks in Detroit. Where did you get are these people that are shipped in from LA that are acting in this freedom and immersive Passover drive-through?
Yeah, we have our cast members are coming in from across the Midwest. We have people driving in from Chicago, where there's a big film and theater industry. We have some local native Detroiters. But we also have, again, across, we have someone flying in from LA, from Dallas, Texas. We've put together a spectacular experience, cast members, to really bring this. You know, it's not just a light show or a drive-through where you watch things happen. It's really an interactive experience with our cast members. The children will be able to engage with them, communicate with them. We have, as I said, narration. It's the full production.
Okay, so the question begs itself. It's COVID safe, which means there's more than social distance. It's called a drive-through, and people are not allowed to get out of their car, yet it's interactive. So what are people doing? Are they beeping their horn and flashing their lights?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, what we do have is we're transmitting our audio directly into your FM transmitters. So as you drive through, you're getting the full sound effects right there in your car. And we have great microphones and ways to be able to talk and engage with the kids in there. And as well as our actors are completely animated. So they're going to be coming up to the windows. There's going to be all sorts of honking, cheering, booing. You know, we may have some plagues coming your way. As I said, we have some really good surprises.
JJ, you're not familiar with Michigan weather, but even though it was 70 degrees this week, next week when this thing is happening, it could hail. Yes. So
there you go.
You don't even have to pay for it. Okay, so now let's talk particulars. Where is this happening?
So this is happening in the Southfield Town Place Center. I'm not very familiar with Detroit, Herschel, so you could definitely jump in.
Southfield Town Center is the area. It's like right in the middle of Southfield, which is a major Detroit suburb. And the town center has huge parking lots. It's five big office towers with, I'm sure, the parking lots. I haven't been there in a year, to tell you the truth. I'm sure the parking lots must be mostly empty.
So we're taking over the entire lower ground floor, working with an AV company to really darken it up down there. And so you feel immersed, almost as if you're driving down into Egypt. And then as they cross the sea at the finale, they drive back out into their real lives, back to Detroit.
Wow, that's fantastic. And again, this is March the 21st and through the 23rd. Can I just pull up?
Sure, March. You just, you can pull up. We will be selling tickets at the door, but much better to go on freedomdetroit.com. Again, that's freedomdetroit.com, and you can pick your exact slot. We're open Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We have day hours, night hours. This is something you do not want to miss. It's coming to Detroit, Michigan.
This is an incredibly awesome.
And by the way, each ticket is good for an entire vehicle, right? So we pay you pay a ticket, and you can bring up to 8 people in your car.
Okay. I have to scrunch 3 more people in my 5-seater then to get my money's worth then. So can I guess who's playing Moses?
You can guess.
No, can I ask? That's what I asked.
Oh, sure. We have a couple of Moseses. But my favorite Moses, his name is David Ibrahim. He's coming in from Dallas, Texas. He's actually starred on the hit TV show Chosen, which is a biblical TV show. I'm pretty sure, just checking up where it airs. So there's already a season put out. It was put out in 2017 out there. It's called The Chosen. Really cool series if you've never seen it before. And David actually stars in it.
Okay, that is awesome. So again, so if people want, you're suggesting people buy tickets. So where do they go to buy tickets and receive more information? JJ Duchman.
So again, it's freedomdetroit.com. You can hit tickets and it's all right there. Buy your ticket, get your slot, etc.
Okay, cool. And again, it's March the 21st through the 23rd. What are the operating hours?
So on Sunday, we're going to be open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then Monday and Tuesday, the 22nd and the 23rd, will be open from 2 to 8.
2 to 8. And what's the cost per car?
So per car right now is $65 per car.
Okay, cool. That is, and if you divide that by 8, that's only $8 a person. And how long does this whole presentation take to drive through?
So the whole thing will take our cars approximately 30 minutes with 5 theatrical stages, lots of special effects and lighting effects. And yeah.
Okay. Now, so let's say somebody comes and they just kind of like show up and the time is full. Is it going to be like a waiting area, time?
That's why it's best to go ahead and buy your tickets in advance so you have your exact slot. But as you said earlier, these parking lots are humongous and there'll be plenty of space to hang out and get prepared.
Okay, cool. There, JJ Duchman, we want to, what is your day job, if I could ask while we're here?
My day job, I'm a program director in a Jewish day school here in Los Angeles. But on my side time, I have a production company called The Power of Youth, which puts together these experiences around the world to help Judaism come alive in a very experiential and engaging way.
Uh-huh. You planning something for Shavuos, the receiving of the Torah spectacular, complete with an exploding Mount Sinai?
There you go. It's in Alaska, though. So if you can travel to Alaska, then absolutely.
You can only do one, eh? Okay. So that might be a reason. I've always wanted to go to Alaska. It's been on my bucket list for years. So maybe it still be the impetus. By that time, I'll be vaccinated. So who knows? Okay, JJ Duchman, thank you so much for coming
thank
on and talking
so
about, again, it's DetroitFreedom.com, or excuse me, FreedomDetroit.com. And we wish you continued success.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. We're going to
happy holidays, guys.
Thank you, you too. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finn here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? I could tell you how. The best way would be go to my website, which is rabbifinman.com. And there, right on the homepage, you can find a way to contact me. Yes. And there's also archived editions of the radio show going back about, every time I go back to look for something, it's there. It's like easily 4 years. So there's hundreds of shows that are archived on the radio site. I want to thank the people at JCast Network for taking care of that. That is, they're doing it. They're the ones who put this podcast together and put it all over wherever podcasts are heard, like, you know, because you're listening to it right now. There's also archived editions of classes that I've done, YouTube presentations, missives that are sent out. Check out Rabbi Finman. We've tried to make it interesting and entertaining. There's also the very important donations page. It's March. And we are in our 25th anniversary. We started in March of 1996. Send in a donation of $36 or more and you become a member of the Jewish Hour family and we send you a special gift. And you can do that at rabbifinman.com and it's all through PayPal. You could, to get to be a member, you have to do $36 all at once. But let's say, okay, you can't do $36 this month, but you could do five. And you could do five next month and five the month after. So then you can make it five and then make it reoccurring. And then you don't even have to think about it. And then that's $60 in the course of a year. And that's way cool. Don't like doing internet gifts? Understood. Send your contribution of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 8220. I want to take a little minute before I get to this Hasidic story to talk about, we're talking about Passover, to talk about the importance of Shmura Matzah. Everybody knows that on Passover, we're eating matzah, which is the unleavened bread. Because of the Jews, the bread didn't have time, the dough didn't have time to rise. They had to leave in such a hurry. And therefore, they ate matzah. But not only did they eat matzah that day, they ate matzah for a whole month, which, okay, thank God, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to keep Passover for a full month. We just do it for the week, which celebrates the time between the exit of Egypt and the splitting of the Red Sea. After that, it was like, just became normal. And we celebrate miracles, not normal. Even though it was, they're eating bread for a month. And well, matzah doesn't go stale. You know how that is. I'll tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you. So what did they eat? They ate handmade matzahs. And it was meticulous that it became matzah. It went from dough to matzah in 18 minutes and it didn't rise. With the advent of the, and that's what people ate from the time of the Exodus until the 1870s, I think it was, maybe the 1880s, people exclusively ate hand-baked matzah. Then, I believe it was Mr. Margaretten, or maybe it was Mr. Horowitz, one of the two, who invented a machine that made matzahs. Now, then machine matzah became the gold standard. But I always hated machine matzahs, even a little kid. It was just like, ugh. Okay. It was like, what could we put on this? So the machine matzah took off because it was more cost effective. I will definitely say that it has always been that the machine matzah is anywhere between a quarter to a third of the price of the handmade, because a lot of the things involved with the handmade, of course, are the hands that are making it. People got to get paid. There's a whole lot more people involved. So it is more expensive. But let's call it artisanal. Let's call it special. I mean, one of the most consumed things in this country is coffee. And you can go into a supermarket and buy a pound of coffee for $4.99. And it's coffee. But there are people who, nope, I have to go to this coffee shop where they brew. The guy goes to Guatemala and supervises the picking of the beans himself. And he brings them back and he roasts them just to the right temperature. And he grinds them just the way that, and he pours the water just the way that. And it's going to cost $16 a pound. But it's the experience. So if you want to experience matzah, you have to get Shmura Matzah. Now, I'm not plugging myself. I do sell Shmura Matzah. But if you're listening outside of the Detroit metro area, you have to go find Shmura Matzah yourself. And I would suggest at this point, if you don't have a kosher grocer in your neighborhood, call the local Chabad representative. They've all got Shmura. This became a campaign of the Rebbe in the 1950s. To make sure that every person should have Shmura Matzah during the holiday of Passover, specifically, especially during for the Seders, when it's a real mitzvah to eat matzah. And so if you would like to get in touch with me, go to rabbifinman.com and get in touch with me. At this point, I usually sell four types of matzah. One of them is sold out already. So I'm going to talk about that one because it's become such a popular thing. Every year I bring more and more and more matzah in. And I'm just a garage, it's distributed out of my garage. So I have different types of whole wheat. And I also have gluten-free oat. If you're in the market, if you're in the need of gluten-free oat, contact me and we'll make arrangements. And that would be at rabbifinman.com. And this will go right into my inbox and just put in the message over there that it's for Shmura Matzah. And I'll answer that immediately because time is of the essence. Limited quality, limited quantities while supplies last. And do it today. The story. Monday of this week is the, is or was, depending on when you're listening to this this podcast, was the anniversary of the passing of the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab was born in 1860, died in 1920. He was called the Rambam of Hasidus, Maimonides of Hasidus, because he was prolific. I have a whole shelf of books of his. And what he did was made the deepest Hasidic concepts available, I wouldn't say to the masses, that the Rebbe did, but he made it to those people who were initiated, who wanted to take advantage of it. Before then, it was like, if you wanted to learn Hasidus, you really had to like make the effort for it. He made it effortless, but you have to be in the know to read his stuff. And I do have classes where I teach many of his writings. He was a very special person, and you could see it as exemplified in this story. There was something called the Pale of Settlement. The Russians, Poles, Ukrainians decided we're going to have enough of these Jews, and they put them all in one area. And it happened to be a farming area. This is a place where nobody else really wanted to live. And when it happened, the first Lubavitcher said, this is great. People will be out in the country and they'll be working and they'll be making a living and they'll be growing stuff. And the Ukraine, we know, is like, it's the breadbasket of Europe. And this is a very good thing. And he encouraged Jews to move to these areas, the Kremenchuk area, the Smorgon area, the Neville area, all these different areas. So in Kremenchuk, there was a person who became he didn't become a farmer. He became a miller. He had the mill where they ground all this wheat that they were growing into flour. Very important thing, because wheat berries are okay, but there's only just a couple of things you can do with wheat berries. With flour, hey, we're talking about sustaining entire populations when you're talking flour. So he became very rich. And the richer he became, the less involved with his Judaism he became. Because of his prominence and his wealth, so his business took him and involved him with many ministers, oligarchs, dignitaries, and he became an entertainer of these people. And it just so happened one time he was in Petersburg at the same time that the Rebbe Rashab, Reb Shalom Dovber of Lubavitch, was in Petersburg. He went there many times for official business because of the pogroms, which were state-sponsored from the 1880s, really till the 1920s in Russia. And that was why there was such a mass migration of Jews from Central Europe to America from the 1880s to the 1920s. It probably would have continued to pass the 1920s if there wasn't the Immigration Limitations Act of 1923. Which sent one aunt of mine to Cuba and an uncle to Argentina because they couldn't get into America where my Bubby and Zeta got into, Bubbies and Zetas. And he requested an appointment to see the Rebbe. The Rebbe was seeing people, private audiences. The secretary took a look at this guy and said, you're going to have to wait, buddy. There's a lot of people in front of you. And this, of course, is a very important person, took umbrage with it. And he started saying, no, I'm not going to wait. You're going to give me a net. You're going to, he said, listen, buddy, you're not getting in. And it goes like the voices are right. And finally, this Mr. Miller, I don't know his name, slapped the secretary. It's a guy, don't worry. He's not hitting a lady. Which is like, what? You want to do what? This already now caused a commotion, and the Rebbe came out of his room. He said, what's going on? He said, this guy wants to talk to you. I told him he'd have to wait. So he said, okay, come in. He took him in right away. So he handed him a note, which is what was constant. He said, okay, what can I do for you? The guy just stood there. He froze. He was in such awe and reverence. He was like, blown away by just being in the presence of the Rebbe Rashab. And finally, he worked up, the Rebbe tried to calm him down and said, take it easy, take your time, because evidently this happened a lot. And he finally said, I just came to see you. That's all. So the Rebbe gave him a blessing that he should be successful in all that he does. And that was it. It says the man went back to Kremenchuk and he closed his mill so it did not work on Shabbos. he threw out all of his dishes and started over with a new kitchen, made it kosher. And just from seeing Lubavitcher Rebbe, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, turned his life around. You can bring up the music behind me, Luke. Thank you so much. That's going to do it. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we have a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Don't forget about Shmura Matzah. Contact me. We'll see you again back again next week. Take care. She